Good morning.
And Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Online Church. We're so glad that you're with us today. If you're visiting with us today, we really appreciate that you're here worshiping with us today. I just want to give a shout out to our worship team. Wow. I mean, they lay it all out there for the production, which we did last week. And we had a record attendance. Just over 600 people attended the production this year. And we're not completely sure on numbers that responded to salvation, but somewhere more than 10, less than 20, somewhere in there. And we're just thankful for those that, yeah, thank the Lord for those who. And then to be exhausted from all of that and to put them, like just to lay themselves out there today, and to pour themselves out. I just appreciate our worship team so much. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about believing for a Christmas miracle. And I'm going to move my mic there, sound guy, sorry. That phrase kind of, you know, with the Christmas movies and media, it's a Christmas miracle. But I believe in Christmas miracles. I want you to believe for a Christmas miracle. You'll understand in a moment. Let me just read the Christmas story this morning. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Who was called barren. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And it came to pass in those days that the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius, didn't practice that one, was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Father, we pray today just that your presence would continue to minister to hearts and souls, bodies, minds, spirits. Lord, we receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, each of us experience Christmas in different ways. For some of us, like Christina, it is the most wonderful time of the year. She's had her eye on, she has her eye every year on more Christmas decorations. I'm going to have to build her a second house just for this. So she had a Christmas closet. Now there's a Christmas basement. And then, I don't know, there'll be a Christmas. And so she saw on TikTok a 4-foot animated Mickey Mouse. And so she's a Disney fanatic and a Christmas fanatic. And they're sold out everywhere because I think the online phenomena of the TikTok, at least in Canada. And I found one stateside. There was one left on the shelf. And so we raced over to Messina to get it. And Aaron and I, Christina didn't know. And I had it set up in her room. This thing is horrifying. I mean, it's 4 feet tall and it's Mickey Mouse. I mean, it's kind of horrifying. But it's motion detected. And so the evening that I had gotten it, she was out with some staff doing dinner. So she comes, I set it up in her bedroom so she wouldn't see it immediately. Wasn't expecting it. It was like the best Christmas gift ever because all of a sudden I just hear her screaming. And I got Mickey! And she comes out, she goes, ah! I wish you could have seen it. I should have videoed it. I was half expecting the reaction. And Mickey, yeah, he's scary. But I mean, it's... So for some of us, it's the most wonderful time of year. For others here this morning, perhaps online, not so much because of all different reasons, maybe past experiences, lack of finances, often relational issues come to the forefront at Christmas time. A loved one that's not at the Christmas table this year, whatever it might be that makes Christmas difficult for others. And because of the high expectation around Christmas, I mean, it's just super charged. There's probably not another time of the year. In fact, there is not another time where just emotionally everything is charged because of the expectation around Christmas. And, you know, wanting to give children the perfect Christmas, wanting to experience a great Christmas. And so there's a heightened state emotionally in all of us. Happy is happier and quite often sad is sadder. And it's a natural time for gathering family, but family gatherings don't always look like they do in the Hallmark movies and don't always turn out that way. But I really believe this morning that Christmas is a great time for Christmas miracles, that the enemy would try to use this heightened emotional state, especially if you're experiencing sadness or depression or maybe just given up or just thought, I just want to get through this. I just want to get through this holiday, get to the other side. If that's you this morning or just you have a miracle that you're believing for, I'm speaking to you today. And I think this is a great time for us to experience a Christmas miracle. And I want to share with you some principles from Mary's story that I hope will help you experience the miracles of this Christmas season. If we think about Mary, it's pretty cool to be chosen to carry the Christ child. And as non-Roman Catholics, we often react because I think there's an overemphasis amongst the Roman Catholics in terms of Mary. They give her status of divinity, which of course the scriptures don't do that and we don't do that. But kind of reacting over the centuries, we've overreacted and kind of just made Mary inconsequential to the whole story. And yet she's so important because I think we can relate to Mary as a young girl who we don't know anything about except that she was chosen by God. The angels came in and said, you're highly favored. In other words, there's a lot of grace that God has for you. She didn't do anything special. In fact, as we look at Mary's life, there's just nothing that stands out, but God chose her. And I think that's today, as we think about the mother of God, that God chose Mary to carry something. Well, I want to stir you this morning. God has called you to carry something of his presence, to carry something of Jesus. In the same way that Mary would find out she was pregnant with Jesus, You and I, as Christ followers today, have His Spirit in us. You can think of it this way. You are pregnant with the purposes of God. You are carrying Jesus in you in the same way, though for Mary it was a physical, for you and I today it is a spiritual carrying of the very Christ Jesus who lives in you and I. How many today would just say, I'm pregnant. I think I want to be pregnant with purpose from God. I want to be pregnant with what God has for me in these days. And so as God has chosen Mary and He's chosen you and I and said, I have great favor, great purpose in your life, that we are the ones that we carry Jesus into the sphere of influence that He's called us to, whether it be at work or at home or in our families, wherever our lives kind of happen, He's assigned you like He assigned Mary to carry the purpose of God into that sphere of your influence. In fact, I believe that nobody else can accomplish what God has called us to accomplish and to do. He's waiting for us to carry and be pregnant with a miracle that He has for our lives. Mary accomplished her assignment, of course, as we know, but she does it because of faith. The angel came and activated her faith to believe. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Whatever it is you're saying, I receive. I actually believe that's the moment that she conceived Jesus, the Holy Spirit. When she said yes to the Holy Spirit, be it unto me according to your word, that the Jesus now physically in her womb began to grow. In order to receive our Christmas miracle, let me give you some steps that Mary took and that I want to encourage you to take in these days. Number one, say yes to your miracle. You have to say yes to your miracle. Say yes. Yes. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. That's past tense. Has been fulfilled. With a resounding yes. So heaven has said yes to the miracle that God has placed in your heart. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory. So as we were praising God today, we are simply saying yes to all that God is for ourselves and for the people that are around us. What are you believing God for this Christmas season? What miracle do you need to say yes to? Because here's what happens. I think for some of us, time goes by. I think for some of us, situations happen that we lose sight of the fact that we're pregnant. We lose sight of the fact that Jesus lives in us. The power of God abides on us, in us, around us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But sometimes we allow situations to cloud us. We allow darkness to come in around us. And we stop believing what God has said to be true. And we start to believe the lies of the enemy. And there needs to be a shift, because although you might not be saying no to a miracle, if you're not saying yes to a miracle, your faith isn't alive. Your faith hasn't been activated. Mary said yes to her miracle. I want you to think about what you're believing God for and perhaps what you've stopped believing God for. And this morning, know that there needs to be a yes in our spirit, a step of faith that says, yes, I believe this. Yes, I'm going to receive what God has for me. I thought about standing in line for takeout. I don't often go to Billy Kay's, but when I do, I get dirty food and I enjoy every bite of it. That's what we call it at our house. Let's go get some dirty food. And so, you know, you make your order and they give you a receipt. Your order's been paid for. There's a number and they'll call your number. At McDonald's now, that it's high tech. There's a number that comes on a screen so you can kind of get ready. But it's almost ready. It's being prepared. Yesterday we ordered some dirty food from Domino's and Christina's like, oh, he just left downtown. Oh, because now on the app, you can follow and get ready. I mean, by the time the pizza arrived, she attacked the guy at the door like she couldn't wait for the pizza. Why? Because we knew it was coming. It was on its way. It was arriving. We were saying yes to what's been paid for, yes to what's arriving, yes, which is coming. We're saying yes to the miracle. I've gone to Starbucks before. Well, I don't get this. You know, it can be busy and they keep calling out somebody's name. that ordered their specialty coffee. I don't know if they just want to make the person, you know, they paid the money just to get the person to say the 16 things that, you know, that they, how they wanted it. And, but it sits there. And I've gone and sat down sometimes, and I have a lot of time to sit down if we're shopping. And, you know, there's a Starbucks in the shopping area where Christina and I go, where I take her to go do that sort of thing. And I've watched where hours go by and nobody picked up their order that was paid for, that was ordered. They're calling out their name saying, it's ready. Come on, I'm just trying to stir you a little bit this morning to believe that when you say yes to your miracle, something shifts on the inside. You begin to feel the anticipation again. You begin to sense supernatural hope come into your spirit because you know that the Jesus inside you begins to stir. He begins to kick a little bit. The life of God begins to stir inside of you. And you go, I think my number is going to, and it's not getting called like my number's getting called, but your miracle is getting called. It's just about ready. Today, I'm trying to stir you to believe. Get ready. Look at the screen of heaven that your miracle is next. Number two, you are out there, right? I'm preaching way better than you're responding. There we go. All right. This isn't about tithing. That we did that already. This is about miracles. Number two, say yes to what is impossible. That's what makes it a miracle. When Mary heard what God wanted to do, she had a question, like you and I have questions about miracles and the supernatural. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God, was the angel's response. Not one promise from God is empty of power. The promise comes with his power. The promise comes with his power. I can say it one more time. The promise comes with his power. When he promises, and you begin to stir and believe for what God has spoken into your heart. But we might ask like Mary, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. This morning, you might not feel pregnant. You might not feel like you're carrying the purpose, the power of God. You might be asking, how will this be? How can this be a miracle in my home, in my family, in my workplace? You know, the reality is to have a baby, a couple things have to happen. And I don't know if all the children have gone downstairs, so we'll just keep it PG. And I think you understand that something has to happen to have a baby. And so Mary is a virgin. She's never been with a man, as some translations describe her response. And what she's saying and what you and I say is she's really saying, had I slept with Joseph, then maybe this would be possible. See, I'm a virgin, and the only way I can get pregnant, the only way that happens in the natural is if I were to sleep with a man. How many of us begin our journey toward our miracle asking like Mary, how can this be? And we begin to go through the logistics. We begin to think through in the natural what would have to happen in the natural in order for the miracle to take place. That right there will short circuit you from your miracle. Miracles don't happen because you can figure them out or I can figure them out. Or if something were to happen, like if the boss would finally notice that I'm doing a great job and I would get the raise, then our financial difficulties and God would have answered prayer. Maybe if the doctor would just figure out what's going on in my body and what this diagnosis is that seems to have them stumped, maybe then. How can this be? How can it be that I would have a miracle when in the natural, nothing's pointing to the miracle? Are you following me this morning? So we all ask like Mary, how could this be? We're saying yes to what's impossible. That's what makes it a miracle. If I just had a better job, if things in the natural will just change, how could this be? You say yes to only what God can do. You can't have a miracle without having an impossible situation. You cannot have a miracle this morning because something in the natural that's hard but gets solved, that's not a miracle. That's a hard thing that got solved. But when it's impossible and there's no natural way, how could this be? That's when we stop trying to figure it out and we say yes to the God who says, with God, all things are what? They're possible today. Whew, you're preaching good too. You can't have a miracle without an impossible situation. Number three this morning. If you don't mind, if I get a little emotional today, the Lord spoke to me over as I was preparing. I had a different message and he kind of changed it up on me. I love it. Well, I kind of love it when he does that, as long as it flows real good and doesn't take me too long to write it all down again. But this one flowed pretty good and I felt like the Lord just stirring my heart. And so if this isn't for anybody today, can I just tell you this is for me? And that I need a Christmas miracle. And I know many of you do as well. So I never want to present myself as having, you know, arrived and you know, I'm somehow different than you are. We're the same in that we're believing God for things in our lives. Number three, say yes again. Say yes again. Mary receives the promise from the angel and she responds, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. She simply responds by saying, whatever this takes, I'm in. And I'm not giving up. And I'm going to keep serving God. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to allow my faith to go cold. You see, faith is something that's active. A moment ago, I said, you may not be saying no to the miracle, but if you're not saying yes to it, your faith hasn't been activated. Often I will ask people, what do you believe in God for? Faith has to be activated. It has to be alive. It has to be stirring all the times. We stir that faith muscle in our spirit to keep it alive. And she says, she's responding by saying, no matter how hard this is, no matter how I don't understand this, I'm going to continue to have faith for what God has said I'm to have faith for. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to sit down and say, well, God's going to have to do something first. I'll believe it if I can see it. No, she shifts and stays in the mode of faith. Somebody today, me included, needs to hear that we need to return to the place of faith, the place where we're believing God again, an area in our life that maybe has gotten old, has gotten stale, and we just haven't revived it. Or stirred it. Keep believing for what I can't see in the natural. Someone here, you've trusted God for your miracle, but it's been a long time. And the enemy's whispered in your ear, too much time. It's been too much time. It was always impossible, but now it's really impossible. This isn't happening. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just give it to God. Just, you know, do this. Don't stir your faith for that anymore. Just let your faith wane. Just let it go silent. Let your prayers go silent on that subject. Just let that go. I know how much that hurts. I know how much pain it is to believe God's not coming. It's old. It's impossible. Just let it go. But the angel says something to Mary that caught my eye. And it stirred my spirit. And I want to stir yours. The angel says, what's more? What's more? Something great's happened to you, but what's more? Your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren. They used to say that. But she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. That word barren is a strong word. And even the pictures, you know, barren land, desert land. Barrenness is the Bible describes a woman who was unable to conceive. And barrenness was a curse in the Bible. And when a person, they felt that way. Not obviously from God today, but just to feel and believe that I'm under something so dark, so cursed that I wasn't able to have children. I am barren, that my body can't produce and be fruitful and have children. She couldn't conceive. She was barren. Barren. And I feel like there's some relatives, family issues today that you and I see as barren.
They're not producing any fruit at all. There's no sign of life of that person that we've been praying for their salvation. It's been a long time and it's kind of getting old. Just to be honest, it's kind of getting old. And I don't know if this relative or this family situation is going to change at all, because there's no sign of life. There's no sign of any fruit. There's zero sign of Jesus is working in their life. Zero sign that they're turning their heart toward heaven. There's zero sign. It's barren. Nothing changing. Nothing new. Same old, barren. Someone here today or online, you're estranged from a family member. You've been longing for reconciliation. Barren. It's not as if you haven't tried. You've tried, you've trusted God, you prayed, you believed, but nothing has changed. It's barren. And now it's just old. Some people believe that Elizabeth may have been in her 80s. When she received this miracle of John the Baptist. Old and barren. I want to stir your faith to believe again, to trust again. Your cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Miracle one, because she was barren. Miracle two, she's old. It's old and it's barren. But can I tell you that whatever in your life seems old and barren, it's not too late. That Jesus wants to do a Christmas miracle. He wants to serve somebody in this room to the place of faith. That there are family situations that are about to change because you're not going to let go. You're not going to believe the lie of the enemy. You're going to begin to stir your faith again. Begin to petition heaven again and believe for the miracle of your relative that seemed barren, or that family situation that seemed barren. She said, Elizabeth's pregnant. Now think about this. She's pregnant and she's 6 months pregnant and nobody expects her to be pregnant. You go over at Christmas time and did you notice Elizabeth has gained a little weight since last time we saw her last year? Nobody's thinking nobody's going to make the mistake. Oh, are you pregnant? I made that mistake once in my life, once. A man only has to make that mistake once. And the lady responded, no, I'm just fat. What's going on with you? I was a young man, an experienced man. I didn't have enough mentors in my life. I got it wrong. I've never gotten it wrong again. Even if you want, if a woman is ready to have the baby, I don't say anything. Guys, just write that down. That's probably one of the best notes you'll have for today. And maybe at 6 months, perhaps she's not showing or people aren't expecting it. Not expecting it. Arriving at their home, Mary entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the moment she heard Mary's voice, the baby inside Elizabeth's womb jumped and kicked. And suddenly Elizabeth was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. Let me break this down for you. This Christmas, as you're with family, you might be with the old barren stuff and be reminded that this isn't changing. This is another Christmas, one more time around the mountain. Can I encourage you that you are carrying the very purpose of God? You have Jesus inside you. I don't know how far along Mary was, but it wasn't very far along. You might have just been serving Jesus for days, for months, for minutes. It doesn't matter. Jesus living inside you, the very purpose of God. You're carrying just like Mary was, because the favor and the grace of God is on your life to touch the sphere that you walk in. And when she walked into Elizabeth's house and she was expecting and faith-filled, and all she said was, Elizabeth, how are you doing? And Elizabeth goes, whoa, I don't know what you're I don't know what, whatever you got, I want some of that. Whatever you're experiencing, because something inside me jumped when you came into my house. Something inside me began to stir. She wasn't barren any longer. She hadn't birthed a child. The miracle wasn't obvious, but something began to stir. I believe as you walk in faith into family situations, into situations that might seem glim this Christmas, that there's a Christmas miracle ready to jump, ready to kick. And in that uncle, in that aunt, in that mom, in that dad, in that son, in that daughter, just because you walked in faith. Now listen to me. That doesn't mean you start preaching. Don't do it. Don't tell them all the things that they're doing wrong. Oh, I just wish you weren't doing that. Oh, man, there's obviously you're old and barren and nothing changes. You're still doing that and still drinking that and still with that. But with God, don't look in the natural. What if Jesus and his love, as she came in and it greeted her, Elizabeth, that in the very greeting, you could stir the purpose of God in them? Because God has a purpose. God has a plan. You haven't seen it yet. It hasn't been birthed yet, but it will. And believe that as you carry it, you're a courier and a carrier of the presence, the purpose, the promises of God. The angel said they used to call her barren. Stop calling your children by the name of the activities that they are in that's causing what that you think is causing what is barren. Don't use the terms drug addict, this, that, the other thing, but begin to call them by their destiny. Begin in prayer to speak out. Don't pray, God, save my drug addicted son or daughter. Pray instead, God, today I believe you for the destiny that is on my child, and I speak and call them by a new name. I call them by the name that God has called them. I call them by their purpose. I call them into the house of God. I call them to everything that God has spoken about them. That's what I call them. I call them what God calls them. She used to be called barren. Not any longer. Number four, worship team, you can come. Say yes to the miracle, but still in your heart. Here's the truth of these things. That although I firmly believe that we will see and hear and rejoice together in the new year of things that God did in this Christmas spirit, in this Christmas season, I mean. Even in our production, there was Mark Petro was over the production aspect of our production. He got saved in a Christmas production a number of years ago. You know, how would we have ever known that from there to here? And so we don't know what's happened in this Christmas season, but here's what Mary did. When the angel spoke about the purposes of God, what might be being stirred in your heart right now, and I sure hope it is. The Bible says that she pondered these things in her heart. She kept them. But Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. In order to keep the word of God in your heart, three things. Number one is protect the word. Protect it. The enemy will try to whisper in your ears. Time goes by, old and barren. She protected it. She would not allow that word to leave. That's what it meant. She kept all these things in her heart. Kept it fresh and not forgotten. Keep it fresh and not forgotten. And lastly, it means train for this word. You literally train and prepare for the fulfillment of the word. That you will be so ready when it arrives at the door that you will accost the pizza delivery man. That's my pizza. I'm ready for this. You're not going to sit and look at it and, wow, the pizza really came. Wow. America's really expected it to come. No, to ponder in our heart, to keep the word in our heart means, it means that I prepare and I train as if Christina and I were doing this week as we were driving up to Ottawa. We had a wonderful time with the team that does the day-to-day things here, and we had about an hour. We were driving to Ottawa where we're going to meet them, and we began talking about what would it look like, what would it be like. And instead of making it futuristic, we brought the future, the miracle, into our present, because that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And you bring it out of the future and you bring it into the present, and you realize by the power of the Holy Spirit that this promise of God has already been fulfilled. It just needs our faith to receive it. Activate it, receive it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning, my task was simply that you would, like Mary, say yes to your miracle. Even if it's impossible today, you realize, I can't think about this in the natural realm. I've really got to trust God in the spiritual realm. For some of us, we need to say yes again. It's old and it's barren, and I let it go. Say yes to the miracle and hold it in your heart. Realize that everywhere you go, Jesus inside of you, the purpose of God, will witness to the purpose that God is working on in that other person. On planet Earth, they don't have access to it, except that you, the temple of the Holy Spirit, carries the purpose of God. His name is Jesus. The incarnation was that Jesus was born and walked amongst us. Jesus is living inside you today, birthing his purposes all around you. You may not feel like you're capable of that. Simply believe like Mary did. Father, I just ask right now across this room that you will revive and cause some that this morning, it's old and it's barren, but we believe you for what's kicking on the inside, what's happening where we can't see, that you've been working even though we didn't know you were working. We're still we're still going to exercise faith this Christmas, believe you for a Christmas miracle. Father, all across this room, online, stir, I pray. I ask for a gift of faith to be imparted right now. Right now. An impartation specifically of the gift of faith. Lord, right now as I pray, just receive that into your heart right now. A gift of faith is a wonderful thing. It's one of the spiritual gifts that you receive to activate what God wants to do. You receive that gift of faith. It's not I hope so. It's not a maybe so. But something on the inside, you become convinced. That's faith. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I just pray for a greater impartation of that gift all across this room and online. Just before we dismiss today, if you're here and you've never received the gift of heaven, you've never received Jesus into your life, today I want to invite you to make the decision to receive, to say yes to Jesus coming into your life. The Bible says we are all separated from God because of our sin. We deserve God's wrath and punishment. In fact, the punishment for sin is to be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. But Jesus came, and he died on the cross, and he received the wrath of God on himself so that he wouldn't be angry at you. God's not angry at you today. He's extending his arms to you, saying, will you receive eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and become born again? If that's you today and you've never done it, or it's been a long time, God's doing something in you. It'd be my privilege to pray with you to receive Jesus. We're going to do that just simply by doing this. I'm going to count down from three. Three, two, and one. When I reach one, raise your hand. Your raised hand is simply saying, you're saying yes to Jesus today. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're all going to pray it in this room, but you're going to make it your prayer today, a prayer of invitation that Jesus always says yes to. And you will leave this room eternally changed. If that's you today, in three, in two, and one, just raise your hand so I can see it. I'll acknowledge. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else today? I think I see a hand there. Anyone else today? Well, congregation, let's pray this prayer. If you raised your hand online, you can text in, I'm making the decision today. This beautiful, holy moment. Pray this prayer from your heart. And church, we're all praying it with them. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me, that you died on the cross for me. Today, I declare I need a Savior. Jesus, come in my life. Forgive my sin. Wash me clean. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your life in me. Today, I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, put your hands together and just congratulate those who made a decision today. We have a QR code I would love for you to scan or see somebody in a black shirt, or you can check it off on the notes, but we want to make sure that we just meet you, congratulate you, and give you maybe what would be your first Bible, or to at least give you a Bible. Let's stand together. Merry Christmas, church. Get ready to receive your Christmas miracle. We'll dismiss you in just a moment.
Of our service today, but I want to pray for you as you leave here today that you will experience your Christmas miracle this week. I pray for as we go into this week and we celebrate with our loved ones that those that feel lonely will feel filled with Jesus. Father, we just thank you this morning, God, that as we leave, Father, this is the greatest gift of life, you, Jesus. You came, you were born, Father, and you were the greatest gift we could ever receive. Jesus, I pray that everybody here will find the greatest love and the biggest Christmas miracle as they leave and they go about their Christmas week. Father, we thank you. We love you, Jesus. And Father, we worship you above all things, God, this week. In your name we pray. And every day, God, we pray. Amen. Be blessed, Harvest. We love you. Have the best Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone in our online presence as well.